From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. First of all, happy birthday, Lee Baumann from Iowa, 12-year Coast to Coast listener. Have a great birthday. Later this hour, well, he went to seek out the truth. New American Revolution with William Faywell. Get ready for that. Next hour, AD, after disclosure, the truth about alien contact with Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel. Here's what's happening. As we've been reporting, an enormous sunspot group has taken shape on the surface of the sun, hinting that our star may soon start sprouting some powerful storms. A lot of people are taking heed. The huge sunspot complex known as AR 1476 rotated into Earth's view over the weekend. It measures more than 60,000 miles across. And scientists with NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, that's a space-based telescope watching the sun, dubbed the solar structure a monster sunspot in a Twitter announcement. Already, two smaller coronal mass ejections are headed this way. U.S. traffic fatalities continue to plunge, reaching their lowest level since 1949, well before the creation of the American Interstate Highway System. According to estimates from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, 32,310 people died in traffic accidents in 2011. Now, that's a 1.7-year over-year decline. That marks the seventh consecutive year that the death rate has declined. What are some of the reasons? A crackdown on drunk driving, they say, the increased use of seat belts, and improved vehicle design. The latest statistics are raising new concerns about the habits of young drivers, however, and new parents can now use a mobile phone app to keep their teens safe, as this marks the Teen Safe Driving Month. Distracted driving is dangerous, even more so when it's an inexperienced teenager behind the wheel. 11 teens die a day simply from sending text messages. Traffic accidents are the leading cause of death for American teens, and risks increase when a teenage driver has other unsupervised teens in the car. Sarah Trek has developed an app called Secure-A-Phone to help parents keep their teens safe on the ground. Now, this app simply sits quietly on people's smartphones, iPhones, or Androids, and when it's in motion, the phone will shut off distracting technologies like texting or email or Google or even Facebook and Twitter. The app will unlock these functions within 30 seconds of the car stopping. Lauren Weinstein, he's an expert in all of this for us. Lauren, this is kind of novel. Would you buy this? This app?
I probably wouldn't. You know, it's kind of interesting. Your prior story before this one noted that highway fatalities have been plummeting. I mean, absolutely falling to historic degrees. And this is at the same time that we have people saying that cell phones are so dangerous. And these statistics are kind of at odds, because if cell phones were as dangerous as some entities make them out to be,
they'd be going up.
You'd expect a tremendous, I mean, it wouldn't be a close thing. You would see an enormous, enormous spike. In terms of this specific application, there's a few reasons I'm a little bit concerned about it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I think people have to think it through. Well, first off, there are various versions of this. There's a lot of them out there. This isn't necessarily something new at all. For iPhone, for Android, there are free ones, there are cheap ones, there are some that have monthly fees, there's some that have additional functions in terms of reporting GPS positions and all those sorts of things. But you have to remember that, first off, you're dealing with kids, and you're trying to teach them to be responsible without feeling like you're
imposing
in a way that's going to look like you're spying on them, that you're putting too much control on them. Because kids are very resourceful. Sometimes they're smarter than the parents, right? And if you really think that you're going to stop kids from making calls and doing things with an app like this, they're going to know more about that app than you do, probably. The other thing is you have to be concerned about the possibility of unintended consequences. And the most obvious one is if you have one kid in a car who has a phone that's been locked down because they're traveling, and they want to make a call, and there's other kids in the car, what are they going to do? So they're going to
borrow a phone.
They're going to turn around to the back seat and say, "Hey, John, give me your phone. I want to make a call. I want to look on Facebook."
Bingo.
And that's exactly the kind of distraction you don't want to have happening. So I'm not saying this is bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's complicated. I think that any parent considering an application like this needs to think through all the possible issues that are involved.
All right, Lauren, thank you so much. Those in Nevada will soon see driverless cars being tested on streets and highways. That's right. You'll see a car going, but nobody driving it. Google received the first license from the State Department of Motor Vehicles there to test the vehicles. It's believed to be the first such license issued in the country. The 2011 legislature passed the first law in the nation to permit testing of driverless cars, but state regulations require a person behind the wheel and one in the passenger seat during these tests. Google has equipped a test fleet of at least 8 vehicles to do this. With the federal student loan interest rate set to a double on July 1st, the Senate has failed tonight to get enough votes to take up a bill to extend the very low rates for another year, so we'll see what happens there. A strain of salmonella found by agriculture workers in Michigan during routine testing of dog food in April has now caused 14 people to get sick. Not that they're eating dog food, they're just next to it. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sourced the illness to dog food from Diamond Pet Foods. Those infected have been found in 9 states. As we've been reporting, obesity could affect 42% of Americans by 2030. It's a new forecast on obesity in America. John Gabriel, Bachelor of Science in Economics, author of The Gabriel Method, he kept gaining weight, reached a weight of over 400 pounds, got fed up and decided to do something about it. John, this obesity epidemic, you knew a long time ago how bad it was, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, George. And, you know, obesity is always going to be on the rise until we look at the real causes. And for me personally, I couldn't lose weight by dieting. And everybody is trying to lose weight by dieting and willpower and stomach stapling. And none of these things work. The only thing that really works is to address and eliminate the real causes of obesity. And once we start doing that, obesity will be on the decline.
How unhealthy is it, John, to be really overweight?
It's extremely unhealthy, obviously, because you're at risk for heart attacks, cancer, type 2 diabetes, all kinds of problems, and it's also a living nightmare. And it's, to me, what it felt like when I was over 400 pounds, it felt to me like I was on a treadmill that was moving too fast with no way to get off. And that was my life 24 hours a day.
How did you feel when you were weighed 400 pounds?
It's a living nightmare. And unfortunately, George, it's a nightmare that more and more people are experiencing. And until people understand exactly how to lose weight the right way and why they're gaining weight, they're going to keep experiencing that. And for me, it was a nightmare where I tried to lose weight through all kinds of different diets. I met face-to-face with Dr. Atkins. I went to the Pritikin Institute, all these things. Nothing worked until I understood how to eliminate the real causes of obesity.
All right, John's website, part of our Twitter feed, at coasttocoastam.com, The Gabriel Method. And you're going to be hearing more from John and a number of other people in the months to come as we take a look at this very serious problem in North America. Researchers at the University of Alabama at Birmingham hope to one day use fluorescent light bulbs to slow down nearsightedness. That's right. It affects 40% of American adults. It can cause blindness. In an early step in that direction, results of a study finds that small increases in daily artificial light slowed the development of nearsightedness by some 40%. You might remember the story we had a few weeks ago about a jilted dentist who got upset with her boyfriend, and so when he came in to see her because he had a tooth problem, she put him to sleep and pulled out all his teeth. You remember that story? Well, apparently it went around the world, and it was a hoax. News websites that ran the story got schnookered. We used it too. It never happened. Pretty good thing. They should have tried it for April 1st, but they missed. Up next, we're going to talk about New American Revolution, the constitutional overthrow of the United States, with an individual who was just out to seek the truth. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. This is going to be a fascinating and informative hour for you, Bill Faywell. He felt a void of truth surrounding America. He set out on a personal journey to reconstruct that truth. He is a student of history, the markets, politics, and has been drawn to those pivotal moments in time when governments change. He has written a book called New American Revolution, and let me introduce Bill Faywell to Coast to Coast AM. Bill, how are you?
I'm great, George. How are you?
Good to have you with us. So Hi. Tell me a little bit about this seeking for the truth, which many of us try to do. Some of us just aren't successful in finding it.
Well, it's kind of a process. I started June 5th, 1968, after Bobby Kennedy got shot. It was about 2 months after Martin Luther King got shot, and I was 14 years old. And throw that on top of JFK's assassination, and it just got too much for me. I just said, you know, I just don't believe this anymore. Everyone's telling me that it's a series of coincidences. And so I had to scrap everything that I had learned, and I had to kind of start over from scratch. And for the last 44 years, dating myself, I've been pushing through, and after the crash in 2008, I just got kind of angry and put off with it and started researching and putting together, what was the problem, how to solve it, and where do we go from here?
Well, you've come up with some pretty darn good ideas that you call a contract with Americans. And let's go through some of these.
All right.
One, you talk about removing and replacing the Federal Reserve System and installing the classical gold standard, something Ron Paul has been talking about for some time. Let's elaborate a little bit on that, Bill.
All right. Well, first thing, you know, the Federal Reserve is it's a parasite. It's the mechanism by which the people that rule America really control us. It's probably the premier constitutional duty of Congress that has been usurped, as George Washington would say. In fact, Washington dealt with its exact same problem back early in his first term as president in 1791. He, at the urging of Alexander Hamilton, he had signed the first charter for a private central bank with the first U.S. bank, and it was one he deeply regretted. In fact, in his farewell speech to the nation in 1796, he issued a warning quite a bit like Eisenhower's warning to the nation about the military-industrial complex. And the only constitutional duty that had been farmed out by Congress at that time was its power and duty to coin money and regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin. And basically, when Washington took it apart, he simply said that you cannot take the regular deliberation and action of the constitutional authorities out of the public procedure, because if you do, they will become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will subvert that power of the people and take up the reins of power for themselves.
Well, he was right.
Well, yeah, they take the powers that are supposed to be visible to us to create the transparency so that we can see our Congress act and be able to judge them, so that we can vote intelligently and vote for the guy who is our hero and the hero of liberty, and vote out the rascals that will sell us down the river. And then Washington goes on to say, you know, if you do allow this usurpation of these constitutional duties through this, in one instance, he says, it may be the instrument of good, but it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed.
It's been going on, Bill, for so long. It's really going to take some guts in order to get this to stop, isn't it?
No, it takes a plan, George.
Yeah.
And, you know, my book is predicated up on 2 points and one solution. And the first one, the historic definition of revolution is a governmental bankruptcy. And that's what not only the United States is in, the entire world is in bankruptcy.
And nobody wants to admit it.
Well, maybe they don't want to admit it. But the funny thing about revolutions is they never go backwards. They go forward, because what they are is this accelerating cycle of debt, which is exactly what we see today. And just as an instance, the revolution, there are four steps, stages to a revolution. The first one is what Crane Britton, in his book, Anatomy of a Revolution, described as the turning of the intellectuals, where the government loses its authority to govern. That's replaced by a coalition government that says, it's not the government, it's the people, we're going to replace the people, and we're going to work within the framework that we understand.
Seems like that's happening now, doesn't it?
Well, we're still in the first stage. Egypt is a good example of having gone through the first stage. They're coming towards the end of the second stage.
And they're falling apart.
Right. The coalition government is failing because it's more than the people, it's the structure of the government. And when you take people that don't know how to operate the idiosyncrasies that are developed in that framework of government, it's liable to fail. But then you throw on top of it that there are people in the coalition that want to destroy that government so that they can create their own image or their own plan. And that takes you, when that government fails, you fall into, blood will flow. That's when you get into the violent part of the revolution.
Sure. Well, capitalism seems to work for governments as long as it's working and people are making money. When they're not, as we saw back in 2008, the bottom begins to fall out.
Well, they're still not making a charge.
It's just a perception. It's an illusion.
Yeah, you're about to see it all 2008 happen again quite soon, I think.
Some have said that. Okay, you talk about prepackaged bankruptcies for insolvent failed banks. What do you mean by that?
Well, what happens when you replace the Federal Reserve Bank with a public central bank that's two-fifths owned by Congress, they can't be feeding out these billions and billions of dollars to their friends that the too big to fail banks that actually own the Federal Reserve Bank. And these banks are going to go bankrupt anyway. So what you've got to do is, just like they did for GM, you do a package bankruptcy. Some of them will survive, some of them won't. You know, basically, it's a breaking up of the too big to fail banks, which is exactly what the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank has been advocating now for the past year, and more strenuously quite recently. And you just got to put them out of business, reduce them, put them back into what they should be doing, which is being an investment bank. Right now, they're just giant gambling.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. You talk about no one is above the law. I agree with that. You think that we should have more enforcement of RICO. Tell me about that.
Well, George, we haven't had a single conviction from the debacle of 2008.
No, not at all.
As you well know, from the savings and loan debacle in the late 80s.
The only one they went after was Bernie Madoff, and he was just an outshoot of the whole thing.
Yeah, they've got a couple other small fish, but I mean the primary players. I mean, if you went to enforce a RICO, Matt Tabia in a Rolling Stone article back in 2009 kind of exposed a meeting that the Federal Reserve Bank or the Federal Reserve had, specifically Tim Geithner and Ben Bernanke, for the heads of the crime families in the New York City banks. At the New York City Federal Reserve is March 11th, 2008. And there they determined and let everyone know that they were going to take out Bear Stearns. And it was a luncheon on the menu. It was Bear. And it was like flicking on the light in the New York bistro, and all the cockroaches just headed out the door. And they gave them inside information, and people went out and made millions and millions of dollars taking down Bear Stearns. Now, everyone in that room and anyone that aided and abetted that meeting of inside information, that's a RICO violation, because when questioned later about it, Ben Bernanke said that, well, it's just a regular series of meetings that we often had with the crime family.
Well, I got to tell you, Bill, I like your idea. Some of the other ideas, of course, he wants to end the financial mass destruction on Wall Street, of course. He calls it a license to steal. He wants to balance the budget. He wants a presidential line veto. He wants to tighten up the Supreme Court and pull them back a little bit. He's talking about changing some of our foreign policy, a brand new tax code. Everybody's in favor of that, and term limits. We're going to be back in a moment with Bill Faywell. We'll take your phone calls and talk more about his plan, the new American Revolution. Next hour, Richard Dolan, Bryce Zabel join us as we talk about AD after disclosure, what they say when the government finally reveals the truth about alien contact. So get ready for that. And we're with Bill Faywell. Bill, they're lining up to talk with you and ask you questions. But let me ask you, this mess that we apparently are in, what got us here? Was it greed?
Yeah, a part of a very small group of people. And we're at the point now where we can do something about it. We've got an election this year, George, and what I've done is to establish a petition that calls for our elected officials in Congress to take back the constitutional duties of Congress and place them back into the public forum, because that is the foundation of our Constitution and our liberty as originally designed by the founders and framers of our Constitution. And along with that, what I'm trying to do is get everyone who's running for Congress and the United States Senate to sign on. And if they won't, by the fall, I want to, on my website, have every state and every congressional district, and it'll list who's going to be on the ballot. And it will identify who supports restoring those constitutional duties to Congress that President George Washington said we had to conform to, and which ones do not, to provide everyone the transparency that they need in order to vote properly. And the objective is to elect a new Congress. They are 468 seats up. I'd like them all. If we can do that, we win.
That would be some gem to be able to pull that off.
It's possible.
What's your website? Spell it for us.
Pardon?
Spell your website for us.
It's NAR for New American Revolution 2012.com.
Simple as that. NAR2012.com. Linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. Let's go to some calls. We'll pick it up by going to Josh in Boulder, Colorado on the wild card line to get us going. Hi, Josh. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. Hey, George. Hey, Bill. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, you know, I wanted to talk about the... You know, I got to say, I'm surprised there's not already a new revolution with these tyrannical bills passing at this alarming rate as it is of now. But Bill, I wanted to ask you, you know, I consider the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution to be shining beacons of humanity's accomplishments. Now, in these times that we face today, would you consider a possible new Declaration of Independence, perhaps a new American Constitution, perhaps a new America?
No.
What are your thoughts?
No. You know, how many times have we heard people say, if we could just return to the tenets of our founding fathers, the Constitution, America would write itself? And, you know, they're absolutely right. But
sure.
The problem is, Josh, is that when you ask them, well, what is that? What do we have to do? They kind of shrug their shoulders, and they really don't know and understand. And there's nothing wrong with our Constitution
at all. We just need it to be understood, and we need it to work. We don't need people to manipulate it.
Yeah, it's a mechanical thing. All you have to do is take back those constitutional duties of Congress that are specified in Article 1, Section 8 and 9, that frame the job of operating the basic framework of the country so that everyone can work and enjoy the fruits of their labor. And what the problem is, all those constitutional duties have been farmed out. They're handled by private Federal Reserve Bank, by some agency. It's all these decisions are made behind closed doors. And if we bring those back out, two things happen. One, you take back the operation of these constitutional duties from behind closed doors and secret and bring it into the public. But more importantly, what happens is that Congress starts to have and to do its job. And when it does its job, it has to be the one that sits there in the public forum with the television cameras going and saying, okay, are we going to give J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs $400 billion? Well, those are the kind of questions that are going to be posed to Congress and they're going to have to answer that they now sloughed off to someone else. And if they say yes, you're not going to vote for them. If they say no, you're going to vote for them. And what that does, not only when it takes it the powers out of those individuals, those unprincipled men's hands, it creates the transparency that we need in order to be able to judge accurately our representatives and senators in Congress.
Bill, you talk about pulling back the Supreme Court. Explain that.
Well, the Supreme Court has gone out. I mean, probably the most egregious thing that they've done is Citizens United. I mean, it's beyond me, and probably 99% of Americans were against that ruling, and that's where corporations are people too, and corporations can go out and finance campaigns. Well, I got news for you, George and Josh. Corporations don't vote.
No.
And they shouldn't be allowed to put money, you know, into a campaign.
So the court's gotten too political, you think?
No, they've gone in places that help feed the tyrants that run our government. I mean, it's when you get down to the difference between liberty and tyranny. I mean, the difference really is whether your constitution, the operations of your country, are they conducted in public or in private? If they're in public, you have liberty. And there's an entire set, there's an economic model that runs alongside with liberty, just as there's an economic model that runs alongside tyranny. And, you know, I'll give you one guess to tell me which one we're operating in right now.
Yeah. Let's go to Racine, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Anthony's turn. Good morning, Anthony. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sure thing.
It's been 14 years trying to get in. I've always had a busy signal.
Perfect.
You got a lot of listeners.
I can't get in.
Bill, thank you so much for being here, because it sounds like you are the person I need to talk to, because I read a book that was from people that were disbanded from the American Medical Association because they help people have natural cures, and they were stating the fact that one of the original signers of our Constitution was Dr. Benjamin Rush. And when he asked for us to not only have a Bill of Rights, he asked for a Bill of Medical Rights, which is what we're in right now. When 10,000 are retiring every day, our country is going to be sitting on a medical firebomb of bigger than anything we could build as a bomb to destroy anybody else on the planet. We are sitting on something that Dr. Benjamin Rush said, I want to have a medical bill of rights. And my question to you, Bill, thank you very much, is why does our country say that, you know, 6 out of 7, I mean, the only reason why we even have this country says that we should not have a medical bill of rights, so that we have a right to our own discovery of healing ourselves instead of a medical establishment that pharmas and everything else that's killing this country is going to do it at 10,000 people at a time. And I thank you, George, so much.
Okay,
thank you for
letting
me on. I am ecstatic that I actually got on after 14 years
with you. Super. Well, sit back, enjoy, and let's get Bill's answer to your question of this involvement in our own rights to take care of ourselves, whether it's natural or otherwise. What do you think, Bill?
Well, again, it goes back to, you know, Congress has been getting into everybody's business except their own. You know, that's why they had the 10th Amendment. It's in the Bill of Rights, and that is that anything that's not specifically given to Congress is to be given to the states. And what Congress has done, it's slowly given out its constitutional duties in Article 1, Section 8 and 9, so it can go meddle in things that they shouldn't be meddling in. You know, I think what Anthony's, you know, asking about and what he'd like to see is already there. And again, you know, I'm a member of Occupy Wall Street. I'm a member of Patriot groups, Tea Party groups. And when I go to these groups and I talk to them, you know, there'll be a stack of petitions, and there'll be this, and there'll be that, and everybody wants this. And, you know, and I bring them around. I said, you need to focus on the one item that serves as the catalyst that just creates a domino effect and straightens the whole mess out. And that is forcing Congress to take back its responsibilities.
Well, it's happening. The Tea Party just tossed out Richard Lugar out of Indiana. They fed up. He's done. His term, when it's over, he's out.
But is the guy they're going to replace him, is he committed?
I don't know.
To restoring the constitutional duties of Congress?
That's a good question.
Hey, that's the key. I mean, we can get rid of all the Richard Lugers in the world and replace them with Richard Lugar Jr. And unless they take that step of Congress taking back its job, its constitutionally described duties and powers, and placing them back into the public forum so they're out of the hand of the rascals, we can see what they're doing, and they're not doing the job that the states are supposed to be doing and getting off the people's back that are trying to, you know, conduct their own what they think is best for them medically, like Anthony is advocating. I mean, he's absolutely right. But this is the only way you do it. And it's not only your medical, it's, it's commerce, it's, you know, go down the list. I mean, it's EPA, it's education. All these things are delegated to the states. And if you want to solve one of these problems, you solve all of them. But there's only one way to do it. That's for Congress to take back its constitutional duties.
Well, let's go to St. Louis. Chuck's with us. Chuck, you're on with Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Hey, I have a question for you. Recently, I myself have been initiated into the intelligence agency, and I gave them some resistance. But how do you plan on fighting somebody who controls everything, and there's nowhere to run to? You can't run. I've tried to your local police, your county sheriff's department, the FBI, and I even went as far to run down in person to the news crew at Channel 4. And when I did, they locked the door and smiled at me, and had 60 agents following me, and they were waiting under every overpass and everywhere to go, and I had nothing to do, and I have to join. And if you knew how many people were involved in this right now, I bet you in your own subdivision, you probably have 100 agents. I mean, they're everywhere. They control everything.
That's why I'm trying to organize 162 million Americans through my website to go out and vote as a unit block. Because I don't care how many, they can't pay 162 million Americans to spy on ourselves. And if we can just focus on doing one thing, and you go to a tea party, and they've got, you know, the flavor of the month of what they're trying to do. You look at the Tea Party website in Washington, D.C., that's run by some young guys from Harvard. It's almost like they're trying to confuse all the other tea parties, because they'll have two petitions going every week and just asking for money.
Well, Bill, you know, this latest situation where the CIA claims that they busted up another would-be underwear bomber because of an informant, I can't tell you how many emails I've received over the last day or two. People don't believe this. They think the whole story has been created. And, you know, I don't know if it has been or not. I'd like to believe that sometimes government does do something right. But doesn't this tell you that there's something wrong?
Yeah.
If people just can't even believe their own government when they come out with a story? People are actually sending me emails saying, this is a concocted story. It's not real. They're doing it so they can increase more pressures on our rights, whether it's at airports or subways or airplane or you know, trains. And, you know, you sit back and you read these emails and you go, you know what? I guess I can't rule that out. How do you feel about that?
I mean, the government's done it to themselves. George, that what you're going to find, I mean, if you talk to some of these guys that have been in the NSA, and there are a lot of younger guys, multilingual, you know, and they've been in the military, they don't like what's going on either. And if you can start putting together a groundswell, they're going to abandon. Yeah, you know, they're not going to go along with the tyranny that some higher-ups are hoisting on the rest of America. I mean, if you really got down to it, I mean, they talk about the 1%, but it's probably 1% of the 1% of the 1%. You're probably talking about between 3 and 30,000 people running everybody into the ground. And we start to get a groundswell, and everybody starts focusing on, hey, let's just get Congress to take back their duties and put it back in the public forum where we can watch what we're doing and get them out of what they're not supposed to be doing and make them do their job. I think it's something that everyone would gravitate to, because what that does, that's how you create liberty. That's the definition of liberty. And as George Washington said, liberty, when allowed to take root, is a rapid growing plant. And not only, you know, as far as freedoms, but also economically.
Okay, let's take one more call, maybe two. West Hartford, Connecticut. Bill's with us. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Yes, hi, George. Hi, Bill. This is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. And I'm glad you just mentioned liberty, because I care extremely, very, very much about liberty and civil liberties. I'm a member of the American Civil Liberties Union and People for the American Way. I'm a liberal Democrat. I want to talk about the First Amendment. I'm going to form a question, the separation of church and state and free speech and free expression. Now, my point is the separation of church and state is in the First Amendment, where it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It doesn't say of a religion, it says of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And one more point, in 1803, I think it was, the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, wrote a letter to a Baptist church in my state, Connecticut, Danbury, Connecticut, saying that the government of the United States is not based on the Christian religion. And one more point, in the Constitution it says there shall be no religious test for public office. So my question specifically is, are you as frightened as I am of the right-wing Republican fundamentalist Christians who would like to change our government into a conservative Christian theocracy? It scares me so much.
We'll let you get this in, Bill, then we're out of time.
That doesn't bother me. I mean, they've got a right to organize just as the atheists or Muslims. Or, you know, if you, when you start to trying to restrict these people or different movements, you know, you're becoming, you know, what you accuse other people of doing. I firmly believe, and I keep pushing. I hate to sound like a broken record, but the real solution to all these problems is to reestablish liberty. And the only way you establish liberty, I mean, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, are a document that's designed to foster and maintain liberty. And we're not doing that. We're not doing anything close to that. And that's what we've got to get back to. I mean, that's the entire purpose.
We've got to do it. Bill, thank you so much. Again, we're going to link your website up at coasttocoastam.com so everybody has a chance to see some of the things that you do. Up next, AD, after disclosure, get ready for this Coast to Coast ride.